What's up, everybody, and welcome to our online Easter experience. Welcome to our Easter service. I'd just like to say happy Easter. Happy Easter from the Water's Edge. Happy Easter from our staff. Happy Easter from myself and my family, Jackie, Aiden, and Jagger. I'm sure we're all kind of bummed that we're not able to have Easter together right now, all together in one service, but if you think about it, this is really the perfect time and one of the most unique times for us to celebrate Easter and to feel the impact of what this day really means. Most of the world right now is paying attention to one thing and one thing only, and that's some sickness, this virus that has disrupted our life and our society. But today, thank God, we get to take a break from all those things and we get to focus on something much greater and something much more important. This virus has disrupted our life, but enough about that, because today we get to celebrate Easter. And today we get to talk about how Jesus came to actually disrupt our death. And we've heard a lot lately about fear, about choosing faith over fear, faith versus fear. But what exactly does all that mean and what exactly does that look like? For many people, they think faith is just being confident that everything's going to work out and be okay. But for the Christian, for someone who really loves Jesus and tries to follow Jesus, for the Jesus follower, faith is much different. And it's much more than just having a positive attitude, being optimistic, keeping your chin up, or keeping some kind of pep in your step. No, actually, according to Jesus, faith is not the opposite of fear. According to Jesus, and he illustrates this with a story, faith is just a different version of fear. And Peter actually talks about this very thing in the Gospel of Mark. Most of us know the story. We find Jesus and his disciples in a boat. They're crossing the sea, and Jesus goes to sleep. And as they're crossing the sea, a great storm hits and everyone is afraid except for Jesus because Jesus again is sleeping. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like Jesus is sleeping in our life. But this was all a setup so Jesus could use this moment to teach his disciples a lesson about faith and fear. And so they wake Jesus up and they ask Jesus this question, "Don't you care if we drown?" And I have a sneaky feeling that many of us are asking that same type of question today. God, don't you care? Don't you care if we lose our jobs? Don't you care if we lose our careers? Don't you care if something devastating happens to our businesses? Don't you care about our retirement? Don't you care about what we're all going through right now? And don't you care about how unpeaceful this all is? So then Jesus gets up and Jesus has a conversation first with nature. He has a conversation with the storm and he tells the storm to calm down and go away, and it does. You see how Jesus works? This storm disrupted their lives and their hearts and their minds and their emotion and their peace, but Jesus disrupted this storm with peace. This storm disrupted their peace, but when Jesus showed up, he disrupted the storm with peace. And this is also one of my favorite things that Jesus did to show us that Jesus has ultimate authority over everything in this life. So then Jesus raises a question. Why are you so afraid? Why is your faith so little? To which Jesus could have added this also. Your problem is that you placed your trust in this storm. Your trust in this storm to control your destiny. You're letting the fear of the storm control you. Then according to Peter, even after the storm goes away, they're still not at ease. They're still unpeaceful. Now they're terrified of Jesus because Jesus just talked to the storm and made the storm go away. And then they ask another question. Jesus asked another question. And this question is something that they really should have been asking all along. And this is really a great question for all of us to ask also. They ask this question about Jesus. Who is this man? Who is he? And you and I really should be asking the same question in our life right now. Who is Jesus to us? And will we choose to follow him? And will we choose love? And will we choose hope over panic, over fear and unpeacefulness? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And so their fear needed to be redirected. And this is what I mean. This is what faith looks like. The issue is not, I need to trust Jesus and I need to have faith in Jesus because of all these storms in life that I may face. That's never the issue. The real truth is this, and remember this, I need to trust Jesus because I'm afraid or concerned of what my life may eventually look like if I don't follow Jesus. If you're going to let some sort of fear or concern control your destiny, let it be that one. And so we see that faith and concern are actually brothers and sisters. They're actually siblings.
As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and everything was calm. Then he asked them, "Where's your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." Luke chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. This storm disrupted their peace, but Jesus disrupted their storm with his peace.
So if I could give you an application based off of the storm story today, I'd actually put it in the form of a question. And this is what the question is, and remember this today. How different would your life look if you trusted more in the power of the love of Jesus instead of trusting in the power of your current storms? Well, I can answer that for you. Our reactions wouldn't be so negative. Our attitudes wouldn't be so gloomy. And our opinions would not be so dark all the time. And instead of trusting in some virus or test or trial, or pain, or heartache, or suffering, or whatever we're going through in life to determine our destiny, instead, I'm going to trust in Jesus even more to grab a hold of my life. I'm going to trust in Jesus even more to decide my future and my destiny. Would you be willing to trust Jesus more today than your uncertain storms? And would you be willing to trust that Jesus can disrupt your storms with peace? Well, the storm ends and their lives move on. The disciples continue to see Jesus teach, love, feed people, serve people, perform amazing miracles and amazing signs. But then Jesus has this final Passover meal with his disciples before his execution on the cross. And eventually at this meal, he tells Judas that Judas is going to betray him. But then he looks at Peter and he says, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And this was after Peter boldly said, "I'll never do that. I'll never walk away from you, Jesus. I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you. I am ready to die for you and with you." And Jesus says, "Calm down, Peter. Before this is all over today, you will deny me three times." And of course, Peter says, "There's no way I could do this. I mean, how could I? I've seen Jesus do so many amazing things. I've heard him teach amazing things. I've seen Jesus love in amazing ways. If I deny Jesus the guilt and the pain and the shame and the regret, I would feel like a complete failure, the embarrassment. There's just no way." And of course, notice what Jesus says to Peter. And I'll be reading from Luke 22, verses 31 through 32 in the New Living Translation. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan is asking to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented, turn to me again and strengthen your brothers." Do you know what really sticks out to me about this story? It's not the part that Peter failed, because a lot of times when we talk about this story and Peter and this failure in his life, we use that as some sort of comfort to comfort us over our failures. Well, everyone messes up, even Peter messed up. But that's really not really what sticks out to me in this story. What really sticks out to me is that Jesus said this to Peter, and he knew Peter was going to fail. "When you repent, when you recover from this, when you stand back up again, this is what I want you to do. I want you to strengthen your brothers. You're probably going to be tempted to go through a time where you let your past, because of this, haunt you, and you let your guilt hold you down, and you let your fears and your shame hold you down, because you're going to feel so guilty and you're going to feel so weak and you're going to feel like a failure. But I want you to understand, I've seen all of this, and I know that you're going to fail me, but I also know that because of my love and my strength and my forgiveness, you're going to be able to repent and you're going to be able to stand back up again. And when you do, you're going to be able to recover your life. And after you do that, teach your brothers and sisters and strengthen your brothers and sisters and comfort your brothers and sisters, because your life has been forgiven and you have a second chance to start all over again. In other words, Jesus says this, I'm about to die on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And Peter, that includes you. When I die on the cross, I'm going to take on every sin that everyone has ever committed in the entire world, and I'm going to be everyone's substitute. Instead of you paying for your sin, I'm going to pay for your sin, which means this, there is absolute complete forgiveness for everyone, and that includes you. Your past never has to define you, ever. And I would say the same thing to us today. That past guilt, that past regret, that past shame, none of that ever has to define you today. It's so true that our past can disrupt our future if we let it. But it's also true that Jesus on the cross disrupted our past with love. On the cross, Jesus disrupted our past with hope. On the cross, Jesus disrupted our past with forgiveness and new life. So if I could give you an application point based off of this cross story today, I would also put this in the form of a question, and this is what it is, and notice this. How different would your life look if you trusted more in the power of the forgiveness of Jesus instead of trusting in the power of your past? Well, again, I can answer that question for you, and this is how we would answer it. Our reactions would not be so negative. Our attitudes would not be so gloomy. Our opinions would not be so dark, and you would stop practicing so much low self-esteem. You would stop practicing so much guilt and false shame and self-hatred, and you would stop running away from God every time you feel weak, because that's what we do when we let our past haunt us and hold us back. Every time there's a small temptation, every time there's a small weakness, every time there's a small failure, this is what we do. We back away from God and we run away from God because we think that we're not worthy. And that was the point of the cross, that no one can do this. And no one is worthy. And so Jesus took our place on the cross. So what's behind us will never define what's ahead of us. What defines our life is the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. So if you're still with me on your couch, say, I'm still with you. Would you be willing to trust Jesus more than your past regrets today? And would you be willing to trust that Jesus can disrupt all of those things with his love and his grace? But the story doesn't end there. We all know that they arrest Jesus. After they arrest Jesus, they parade him before the multitudes and they completely humiliate Jesus and embarrass Jesus Christ. They spit in his face. They curse him. They flog him with a cat of nine tails. They brutalize him and they torture him. And then they murder Jesus on the cross. The world is dark and uncertain as they place Jesus after this in a dark and uncertain and temporary grave. But again, Jesus disrupted everything. He disrupted our disruptions. He disrupted our storms. He disrupted our past. He disrupted our fears. And now we're about to see that he not only disrupts our life, but he's going to disrupt our death. And so Jesus rose from the dead on the very first Easter. Notice the story in Luke chapter 24, verses 1-7. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, and so they ran in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? Jesus is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. He must be crucified, and after that he would rise again on the third day. Could you imagine what the early disciples felt on the very first Easter? Now think about this, and this is why this is such a unique time for us today. On the very first Easter, the disciples were locked in their houses. And they were so scared of dying that they were in isolation and they could not come out for fear of their life and their loved one's life. And so they were afraid and they wanted to believe. They wanted to believe the news that the women who found the empty tomb had shared with them. They wanted to believe, but it just seemed too good to be true. They were living in a time of despair and fear that if they left their homes and if they left isolation, it would be over for them. Too great of a risk. Could a miracle really happen? Could life really win out over death? And could love really be the most powerful force in the world today? All questions that many of us are asking right now. When is this going to end? When is the darkness going to stop and mourning going to break through? When are we finally going to hear some good news? And when can we come out of isolation and be together again? The disciples were alone in their homes, but they dared to believe that hope was possible, that the long night was going to be over soon and morning would break through. Even though it wasn't quite real just yet, they still held on to hope. Eventually, they were able to leave their homes. The fear suddenly went away. The panic subsided, and they went out praising God and sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and his love is the most powerful force on earth. This year, even though we can't have Easter together, maybe we can experience a small taste of what the first Easter was like, stuck in our homes, trying to find hope, trying not to give up, trying not to let discouragement just destroy us on the inside, still holding on, waiting for the darkness to end and the sun to shine. And then after a little while, it will be safe for us again, when it's safe for all people, and when it's the most loving thing to do for everyone around us, we're all going to come out again. And we're all going to gather together again. And we're all going to hug each other again and love each other again and pray with each other again and worship with each other again and serve with each other again and feed with each other again and share the good news of Jesus Christ, that love has the final say. This year, we get a small taste of what the first Easter was really like. So if I could give you one last application point today based off of this resurrection story, I would also put it again in the form of a question, and this is what it is. How different would your life look if your first reaction to your biggest adversities was hope instead of discouragement? What's your first reaction to your biggest adversities? Most of us go straight to panic, straight to stress, fear, pain, uncertainty, doubt. But what if your first reaction was, man, I got Jesus. It's going to be okay. Even if it's bad, I still have Jesus. And so I'm going to hold on to hope. What if that was your first reaction? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. Our reactions would not be so negative. Our attitudes wouldn't be so gloomy. Our opinions wouldn't be so dark. You would stop practicing so much self-hatred, guilt, shame, low self-esteem. You would also stop running away from God every time you get weak. And also, you would find it much easier to overcome your current and future stresses, much easier to overcome your current and future pain, your current and future fears, your current and future anxieties, storms, trials, and suffering. The great news today is this. The tomb is empty. And so Jesus came to disrupt. He came to disrupt death with life. He came to disrupt panic with peace. And he came to disrupt discouragement with hope. Let's follow Jesus Christ as he disrupts our life in the most radical, loving, and best possible way ever. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. I want to say a special prayer for everyone who's watching today, whatever needs they have, whatever's going on in their life. God, today we hold on to hope and we love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. We love you all. Have a great week.